Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It is a rainy Saturday morning in Pittsburgh. Temperatures up, so it could be snow, but it's rain as a result. And we welcome you inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. I'm Bob. Joel Nelson is behind the glass. He'll be taking your call. He's always got everything taken care of here on the ones and the twos. So you call him at 412-928-9370. That is the number of the hotline, but it's also the number of the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates. They remind you to text responsibly. Twitter on this station is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Right here every night at 10:35, most nights I should say, but always 7 nights a week on Pittsburgh CW. We are driven in style by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. And we are brought to you also in part by Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. What a great place to watch your favorite sports team in action. Go to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Also great for holiday dining as well. So good morning, everyone. And we have a very busy morning here because the USA right now is taking on the Dutch. The Netherlands have gotten 2 goals in the first half of this. And they lead 2-0 in the 50th minute. So that's... In soccer, almost an insurmountable lead, I would think. One is hard enough. Two, we'll see what happens. But so far, Christian Pulisic has not done all that much coming back from the injury he suffered the other night where he got the game-winning goal. But he's playing. And, you know, hopefully they can use their speed and their youth to get back in this game as they're on the attack right now. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. In the meantime, Joel, have you seen anything on Antonio Brown latest? I'm just curious. He was held up in his house, whatever the right pronunciation is. He had guns in there. He refuses to come out. Domestic issues. Just a sad story in so many ways, and especially for his kids and his wife/girlfriend, whatever. That's awful. And have you heard anything? Have you seen anything? Because I haven't.
I think as of yesterday morning, it was still an active investigation, but I'm going to try and take a look if there's another update at the moment.
Okay, well, anyway, that's one of my talking points today, and I just want to get your take on it, only because, you know, Antonio Brown, if you look at straight numbers, should be a Hall of Fame guy, without a doubt. But I wonder if this does kind of delay his enshrinement, if you believe he's worthy of being enshrined at all, because this kind of stuff, you know, will affect how people view him, and... It's just not good. He's had problem after problem after problem. And unfortunately, his kids have a front row seat to all of this. And it's terrible to watch if you're them, I would imagine. But anyway, if we get an update on that. But I want to hear, do you think he's a Hall of Famer? Should he be in? Will this affect his status as a Hall of Famer? 412-928-9370. But as far as college football is concerned, man, oh man, I just want to get into it because last night in the Pac-12, Utah ended the game on a 44-7 kind of run at USC. It was unbelievable. And Cam Rising, the quarterback at USC, is just one of those guys, man. It's a shame, and I tweeted this out, the more NFL coaches and scouts don't look at people like this. He may not have the natural, all the stuff of, you know, prototypical quarterback, but what he does have is toughness, winning mentality, energy. This is all stuff that really makes the team around him better. I don't think there's any question. They rise to the level. He took a hit last night, which would have laid people out. He got up, got his helmet, and just kept playing. And he kept playing, and he kept playing. And USC had no answer for him. 22 missed tackles from USC. USC stunk last night. Let's just put it that way. Because defensively, and I blame, in a way, Lincoln Riley, who had that team down 17-3 early before they went on that 44-7 run to end the game. And it was a 4th-and-8 at midfield. And he's up 14 points. 4th-and-8. You know, it's one thing if it's 4th-and-1, 4th-and-a-half, whatever. You can go for it. 4th-and-8, your chances are not that good. Utah stuffed it out. Next thing you know, they score. Momentum gone forever. And USC and Lincoln Riley and his $100 million going home. And I also wonder what this does, if anything, to Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison got his NIL money. He went. He got what he wanted. But what he didn't get were better stats. What he didn't get was a conference championship. What he didn't get was a playoff. Does that affect his status as a wide receiver? Still very talented, and I wish him the best. But I'm wondering, does that affect his status and where he might go? We saw how it impacted Kenny Pickett. He stayed another year. He got great numbers. He went from a 5th-round pick to a 1st-round pick, 20th overall. Does it work in reverse for someone who goes to another team and does not have the same stats? Does it affect him? 412-928-9370. For the year, 59 catches, 875 yards, 8 touchdowns for Jordan Addison. Much better when he won the Biletnikoff Award here. And on that topic of quarterbacks, Phil Dracovic has announced that he will be in the transfer portal. Who isn't in the transfer portal? A lot of people put 2 and 2 together and come up with 4 that he would end up at Pitt. We'll see. But it's going to be interesting now because that loss by USC now opens a door for, you'd likely think, Ohio State. But there are more games to be played today. And one of the more intriguing ones involves number 3 TCU against number 10 Kansas State. Kansas State, the first time they played them tough, had the lead. TCU still a favorite by 1.5 in this game. A hypothetical question I would have is, if TCU loses this game, does that invite both Ohio State and Alabama? Alabama's a 2-loss team, and you can argue that they don't have any like shocking wins or, you know, dominant wins. What they do have, though, is a tough SEC schedule with 2 losses. I think it was a combined 4 points on the road. Is that better than 1 blowout loss at home by Ohio State to Michigan, where they dominated Ohio State and didn't even look worthy of being in that game? I'm curious your thoughts. If TCU loses, does that invite both Ohio State and Alabama back into the equation? Georgia can lose today, and I don't think it matters. They're going to be in. Michigan can lose today. I don't think it matters. Although the spoiler makers of Purdue could spoil their day by winning that game. And, you know, over the years, they've had some big upsets. Very fascinating day of college football. We have that LSU and Georgia game coming at you today at 4 on KDKA. Georgia is a 17.5-point favorite. But I'll tell you that Kelly and his LSU team have played, you know, they lost last week, a terrible game. But, I mean, they're capable of pulling an upset in that regard. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let me know what you think about that. As far as the Penguins, the big news this week was, of course, the shocking news, really, that Chris Letang had suffered another stroke. This one, clearly, and much better results in terms of, it wasn't like the first one, which kept him out for 2 months. He's 35 years old. Letang has just played, you know, 17 years of outstanding hockey. I think, yeah, he has his turnovers. Yeah, he has his issues, whatever. But for a guy who was born with a hole in his heart, which was, you know, I'm a two-time open-heart surgery person myself, I realize how tough this is. And I had something similar maybe to what he had this time. It was called a TIA, a trans-ischemic attack. Everybody's different. You don't know what your body's doing. But the one thing he did was recognize something was wrong on Monday night, called the people in the medical team for the Penguins, got him in immediately and diagnosed this. Chris Letang will do what he wants to do, and I think he still wants to play. There's no reason to think he can't if he gets medical clearance. He played 7-8 years since his last one. And that, in the middle of that, was interrupted by a career-threatening neck injury, if you remember. So he's had concussions. The guy's a warrior out there. He gets out and plays. And I hope he continues to play, but I hope he listens to his doctors and does what he has to do. It led to a change in power play. You know, the Penguins have struggled, even with Letang on that power play. So today at practice, Petrie and Malkin are point guys, Gensel, Crosby, and Raquel. That's an optional skate before the St. Louis game tonight. But they're coming off an impressive win against the Vegas Golden Knights, in which Phil Kessel got a nice ovation after 1,007th consecutive game. You know, When I look at Phil Kessel, if you looked at him, you'd say there's no way he could play a thousand. People want to get on him, though, about the fact that, you know, he doesn't look like one of those guys who can be an Ironman. But I'll say this, that guy out there, and I don't care what you think about how he plays. He doesn't get involved in physicality of the game. Okay, fine. It's still a physical game, and there are still things on that ice surface that will hurt you. You go to the net, you get hit by a puck, somebody turns your skate, whatever the case may be. He's gone through 1,007 consecutive hockey games. Kudos to Phil Kessel for being the Iron Man in the National Hockey League. And, you know, whatever people want to say about his look, he's out there every single day. Now, you can ask the question, because I asked this when Cal Ripken had his long streak, Joel. Is he doing it now just to extend the record? Is he worthy of being on the ice all the time? Should he be scratched as a healthy scratch once in a while? Will the coach have the guts to do that? Cal Ripken, I thought, sometimes handicapped his team by wanting to play all the time. He needed time away. His numbers suffered as a result. And I'm just curious what they would do, you know, in Vegas. Does it come to a point where he hasn't scored in 18 straight games? Does he sit because he's not scoring in 18 straight games? Or do they have that streak to worry about? And, you know, does he have at all an impact in that? I think that's always a fascinating topic. And, you know, he has 4 goals this year. That's it. So he's certainly not playing at the level he once did, but he's on that team and he'll continue to play, I suspect. 412-928-9370. Of course, the other topic, well, first of all, I want to mention a kudos to the Pitt women's volleyball team. My wife and I went there last night to watch a game. She's been interested in how they play, and I said, well, we should just go. We sat in stands. It was fun to watch, and they, you know, in straight sets took care of Colgate. They got BYU tonight, so I know Chris Hoke is a BYU guy, so he's going to be very much there and rooting for BYU. But, boy, Pitt, you know, if they win, then they go to the Elite Eight. They're a very well-coached. Dan Fisher does a great job. They got a great recruiting class, from what I understand, coming in. And you talk about kills. Oh, my Lord. They are a tough team to beat, especially at the Peterson Event Center, which that game was last night. And the Pitt basketball team also with a nice win. Are they turning into something better than we thought, Joel? 68-60 at NC State, which I think was 7-1. And they're not getting really a whole bunch of contributions from John Hughley yet. And if they do, you know, who knows? But they've won 5 in a row, and that's an impressive win considering that over the last several years they have really struggled, especially on the road in this conference. 412-928-9370. When we come back, we'll talk about the Steelers. I want to get your thoughts on this. Give me a call. You can also shoot me a tweet at KDPomp. The Steelers will take on the Atlanta Falcons. You see it on KDKA. We got pre- and post-game coverage of that. I want to know what you think about what you saw last week on Monday night as Mike Tomlin improves his record of 19-3 on Monday Night Football. And do you see a continual advancement and development of Kenny Pickett's career? We'll talk about it. All right, welcome back as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Van. Join us for a night of Christmas karaoke at Mike's Beer Bar on Thursday, December the 8th from 6 to 8. Along with the fan hosts, we'll have David Bednar, Pirate Closer, Heather Abraham, my colleague at KDK, my daughter Selena, and I will also be there. I'm planning to do a duet with Ron Cook. I don't know if he knows that, Joel, but we're going to do something there. Or maybe he could just be my background singer. Simply bring a pair of new clean socks and make a $5 donation for Socks for the City. That is Thursday, December the 8th. It's also the night of the Free Care Fund show on KDKA, something that has been a long tradition with us at KDKA, and it's going to be wonderful with all the money raised to help the people at Children's Hospital who do such a good job with families and their kids. Our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. And number one, Cochran's. Shop 24/7 with expressway@cochran.com. Let's go to the lines. We got Mike in Pittsburgh first up this morning. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Bob. How you going today?
What's going on?
Hey, I want to ask you for your honest opinion, because I'm sitting there having a conversation with my 12-year-old son. You follow the Steelers. And there's been games they've been close with, the Jets, New England, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. And looking at, you know, been the years that you've been in sportscasting, honest opinion, you think if we had a better offensive coordinator, there was games that we could have won?
Yes, I do believe that. I do believe that's something that would have helped them and more schematics. But, you know, I mean, this is also a rookie quarterback, and, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, how to get him more involved, how to give him more leash. But I, you know, listen, you can look back at those two games you cited, the Jets and New England, and also say that their defense let them down in critical situations. You know, there are reasons why teams lose. It's not always one component of it. In that Jets game, for example, I mean, their quarterback in the fourth quarter was 10 of 12, and now he's benched in New York. You know, I mean, their defense, which is supposed to be the big part of this team that carries this team, has not been that way in critical situations this year. But, yeah, I think they're going to make a change at some point. And, you know, they didn't do it, and I didn't expect it to happen midway through this season, but I do think there'll come a time, and it'll be after the season, where they're going to try to – and I think they should bring in better coaches, you know, to help Mike Tomlin out.
Would you like Frank Wright? What about Frank Wright?
He certainly has an offensive history, and he's very good about how he's dealt with quarterbacks, I think. There are a lot of guys who fit that out there. I think Mark Whipple is somebody who I would look at. He's had a chance here. I mean, he, more than anybody, I thought had a lot to do with Kenny Pickett's senior season at Pitt, his last season. And he's had NFL experience, so he's another guy. I mean, I would open it up and look around. I think there's some really good offensive minds.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
All right, thank you, Mike. Let's go to Ed in Kennedy Township. What's up, Ed? How are you?
Yeah, Bobby, next April, if I'm at the draft board and the quarterbacks are all available, I'm taking one of them. I don't care. What do you think?
Well, no, I'm, you know, first of all, if Kenny Pickett continues to do well, Ed, as this season moves on, I think I see development in him every week.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
Why don't you see it? What did you not like about what you saw on Monday night? I thought he was really in control of the team. His leadership is coming through.
He's not accurate enough.
No, he was really accurate. I thought he missed that throw to George Pickens in the end zone. But other than that, I thought he put the ball right on the money. I think accuracy is one of his best assets.
Well, we're looking at a different game, I guess.
I guess. No, but my answer is I wouldn't do it. Plus, I don't think this quarterback class this year is going to be as good as the one next year. I think
How about Pitt beating NC State last night?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Capel has them turned around right. They're playing good defense. You know, you can tell your
kids
all you want.
They're not consistent enough, though.
Well, they've won five in a row, so they've been better in the last five games. And the fact that that's a ACC conference game, they're 1-0 out the chute. I think that's good. They were not favored. In fact, they were 10-point underdogs in that game. So, you know, if John Hughley gets together and this other guy who's right now with, I don't know what his situation is, Dorian Johnson, whatever, he's had some, you know, off the field problem, off the court, I don't know what his deal is, but if he gets back, he's like a four-star guy. Anyway, they got some guys, you know, Jeffers he's out with a surgery, but they have enough guys who are playing well. I think Henson's playing well. I think Nelly Cummings is playing well. I think if John Hughley gets things together, you know, it would make them a consistently decent team that they're in games. But this is 5 years into it. I would expect that at the very bare minimum. But it's a good win.
There's a soccer match in my backyard. I'm pulling the window blinds down.
Well, you got to try it, Ed. It's like anything else. Before you learn about it, you got to try it. And I think if you watch it, you'll have a respect for it if you keep an open mind, too. A lot of people don't want to keep open minds when it comes to soccer. But thanks for the call, Ed. I appreciate it. Right now, that is still 2-0 Netherlands over USA. That's a lot of stamina to play, and it's the skill level is really terrific when you consider you're not allowed to use your hands. So I would give it a shot. I think it's interesting. I think all things, if you just sit, learn, and watch, you can come away with a different viewpoint that you might have otherwise. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to our friend Anthony in Oakland. What's up, Anthony?
Bob, I don't know anything about international football, but let me just say this.
You called it football. That's a debate that's been going on.
Yes, well, that's what it is, international football. I didn't learn that much. I feel absolutely terrible for what's going to happen to those Iranian players when they get home, if it hasn't already happened to their families or not.
Apparently it has to some of them. It's awful.
Yeah, it's. I feel bad for them, and I wish there was a way for them. But if you didn't bring the family with you, you couldn't even ask for asylum because – they would still have the same kind of outcome. So, boy, oh, boy, that's the, you know, I'm not interested in the rest of it, but that part really got me because I saw what's going to – I told my sons, I said, it's going to be very horrible consequences when they get home.
Yeah,
awful. Let me say this about the Steelers, if I may. I think Kenny Pickett can be the real deal, but we won't see that right now until he has a competent coordinator. He doesn't have that right now. And here's the example. Look at what's happening in Miami right now. McDonald goes there. His name is McDonald, right? His last name? Mike McDonald?
You mean the head coach of the Dolphins?
Yes.
McDaniel.
McDaniel, excuse me. He's scheming this young man.
Yes, he is. But he did that in San Francisco, too.
Yes, yes. He's taking advantage of his attributes. And now a person that the owner was trying to get Deshaun Watson and Tom Brady were, and Flores didn't even want. Look at him now. He may become the MVP of the league. So a coordinator can make a quarterback better and a team better. But and here's the example of what's happening here in Pittsburgh.
But they also gave him weapons, too. They went out and, you know, and when you have weapons, it makes a difference. And I think the Steelers have weapons.
Yes. But they don't have a coordinator to utilize them. And here's the example, Bob. The play, the winning play. He couldn't audible.
Ding, 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 ding. Okay. USA just scored. Pulisic with a centering feed. It went off something and in. So it's 2-1 now. So in the 75th minute. I hate to interrupt you, Anthony, but I wanted to give you an update.
Good. That's important. Bob, he couldn't ask his coordinator to audibleize. There's no audibleizing here. He had to go to the head coach with the quarterback coach and say, I want to move into this play. Is that okay, Mr. Tomlin? And Tomlin gave him the okay. So for Tomlin and everyone in the organization to see, that's a red flag, Bob.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm sorry. I'm somewhat distracted here. I'm trying to figure out what actually happened on this goal.
But, no, you go ahead.
Go ahead. Say what you had to say again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you.
I'm saying, Bob, it's a red flag when your coordinator, and we know the coordinator does not allow the quarterbacks to audibleize because Ben told us, Trubisky told us, Pickett's told us. He had to go to the head coach, Bob, and tell him, listen, I want to change this play. Head coach gave me okay. It won the game. So that should tell the whole organization.
That's a leadership issue.
That's not for it.
Right. I mean, he's the one who said, I like this play, I want to go with it because I know what I want. And it was involving Benny Snell, you know, who hasn't been playing at all in that position other than these injuries. And that says a lot about what he believes in his teammates, too. So I think there's a lot of development. Our previous caller did not see development. I see development every week. I do.
Well, of course. But I don't blame the young man because what he got from upstairs was earlier in the game, well, part of the game was, let's do a shovel pass to Gentry. Excuse me? He's like 16th on your total pool of offensive players. Guys are going to try some shovel pass? And I guess he said, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to the head coach and say, listen, I got to play. The head coach has confidence in him and said, do it. Thank God somebody was listening over there.
Yeah. I mean, and that has – but, you know, his accuracy so far – people want to question arm strength. Okay, fine. I don't know how many times they're going to be required to throw the ball 70 yards in the air, but he can get it down there where he needs to. But most importantly, arm strength is insignificant if your accuracy is off. Your accuracy is on. It makes a big difference in terms of, you know, yards after the catch. Plays can just break open, and I think that's one of his best assets as this season rolls on.
Bob. Jeff George had one of the greatest arms of all time, but couldn't get the touch at times when he needed. The arm strength meant nothing. Joe Montana didn't have the greatest arm strength, but he was accurate. And they had the greatest scheme, one of the greatest schemes they're still using 40 years later.
That's a great comparison you make. Not that Joe Montana is you know the kind of player he's going to turn out to be, but the similarities in how they played are very, very striking to me.
Yes, it is, Bob. And so, Bob, now you can go back to the
international soccer match.
And I love you, man. Please have a good time with your family.
All right, you do the same, Anthony. It's always great to hear you. 412-928-9370. Yeah, not sure who got that goal, but it was set up by Pulisic, and he went. It's a nifty play, whoever got it. So it's 2-1, and it looks like the Netherlands are back on their heels with still about 12 minutes left here and then some stoppage time. We're going to take a break here. If you have a call to make, please do it so until 1 o'clock here, 412-928-9370. We have a lot going on today. We're going to talk more about that Steelers-Falcons game and what it means, and also two intriguing matchups in the NFL, Kansas City and Cincinnati. And Cincinnati goes to a place that's hard to win, and they won, and that will be interesting, as well as Tennessee and Philadelphia. Two teams that run heavy offenses. We'll get into that. Plus, Deshaun Watson is back this week. Will be interesting to see what kind of reaction is there in Houston as he goes against his former team with many of his accusers in the stands at that point. Welcome back on a rainy Saturday in Pittsburgh. It's now 3-1. As Joel Nelson told you, Netherlands, USA is getting sloppy taking chances because they're now in the 88th minute and they need to do something. So most likely that's going to be insurmountable at this point of the match, but you never know. They got it to 2-1 in the 75th minute, and then right like 2 minutes later, they gave it right back up. 412-928-9370. Got a really interesting slate of football games going on tomorrow in the NFL. One of them involves Kansas City and Cincinnati. You'll see that one on KDKA. By the way, we have pregame show to Pittsburgh Atlanta coming up at 11:30 in the morning. And then after the game, Chris Hoke and I will break it down on Pittsburgh CW. You have 2 hours of postgame, as we always do. And if you want to flip around and watch the other one, that's fine. But you can also call and let us know what you think about the Steelers. Anyway, Kansas City is 9-2. And they've won 5 consecutive games. They're closing in on the 8th consecutive postseason, which is, to my estimation here, the longest active streak in the NFL. And Andy Reid has been just very consistent, almost 10 years on the job there, and every year 9 wins, 112 overall during that span, most of anyone. That'll be an interesting game because Cincinnati can win a lot of different ways. They showed last week they could run the football if need be. Samaje Perine has turned into be something very good. Even without Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon, they go to Tennessee and win. That's not an easy thing to do given how Tennessee plays. Tennessee will be at Philadelphia this week. That's an interesting matchup as well. But, you know, Buffalo is a team that really, to me, needs home field advantage in the playoffs. Now, they've beaten Kansas City, but they also have 3 losses, and Kansas City has 2. So Kansas City needs to keep winning, and they would control their own destiny. We'll get into the Steelers in a second, but right now let's get Rob in West Mifflin on the line. He joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
A couple quick points, man. I just hope Jeff Capel understands. Like, I watched Pitt every game this year. He has a pretty decent team this year, man. I mean, he got some pieces now. So I'm hoping he can start building some wins down there. Because I like those twins. They can stretch the floor. And like you said, to one of the callers, it's all going to be up to Hewley. If he stays healthy and get back to form, because Henson can shoot. You got Nike Sabandi coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And he's got some pieces down
there. Frederico. You got a lot of different people there who can do some things.
Yeah.
But still, Hughley's got to be the guy. You know, he's got to be the guy, the centerpiece down low, to do what he is capable of doing. And that would make a big difference.
Exactly. And I got one more quick point about Steelers. I really didn't want the Steelers to pick Kenny Pickett because we needed a lot of other things like defense line, offensive line. But I'm hoping he makes me a believer because I've seen him down Pitt for 5 years and I really wasn't impressed.
You weren't impressed with his last year?
Yeah, out of 5 years. You mean one good year? I mean, I don't know, Bob. Maybe I'm being biased, but I've seen enough of Kenny Pickett. And to be honest with you, I think he's already hit the ceiling. This is what you're going to get out of him. He's going to run around. He's going to make some plays. He's going to make some throws. But I'm going to give him his credit. He did. He looked real good Monday night. I was real happy for him. I want him to succeed. I really do. Because I'm a diehard Steeler fan. And like I said, I want him to succeed. Make me a believer.
I think, as Anthony previously called here, he made a good point about what a coordinator can do. And again, Matt Canada is doing his system, whatever that may be. I just think if you get a better schematics approach to using a quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa is a great example of how someone could be lifted to a different level. Now, they've got weapons for him as well. They made a very, very, I think, interesting trade to get Tyreek Hill. Gave up a lot, but they believe that's what they needed to be competitive, and here they are. And he's got one of the best passer ratings in the game. He's an elite quarterback all of a sudden when a lot of people doubted that. So, I mean, there are a lot of components go into it. I just like he's very mature. He should be. He's been around. Kenny Pickett is also very accurate and poised, and I think that all plays into this. Confidence, it's like I saw, I tweeted out this Cam Rising guy who's from Utah. You know, when you get a quarterback who is tough, courageous, confident, that's an infectious quality. I think you have to have that if you're a good quarterback. You have to have that. Your teammates have to feel that. And I think, you know, Kenny Pickett is starting to show that. Again, there's a long way to go here in this assessment of him. I think he has a lot of tools in his so-called toolbox, but we'll see how it plays out. I've been encouraged what I see so far. Let's just put it that way.
he had the one good game, but other than that, I really didn't really see too much, Bob, to be honest with you.
He is a rookie. How much time are you going to give him, Rob?
How much time? He's a rookie. I mean, he's Brandon Wheat.
I mean, you're gonna make a conclusion already. That's my point. I think it's too soon to make a conclusion.
I'm not judging him now. No. Not after what's the seventh start?
Yeah.
I wouldn't dare judge him after no seven starts. Like I said, I want him to succeed. Make me a believer, because I don't think they should have took him or Malik Willis. To be honest, which they should have went quarterback.
Well, a lot of teams passed on Kenny Pickett when they had quarterback needs in the first 19 picks of that draft. So either they're going to be right or the Steelers are going to be right in the long run. We'll find out, but I like what I see so far.
I'm not going to take too much of your time, but I'm going to leave on this note. I think you're going to see the real Kenny Pickett when Matt Canada gets out of here, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think a better scheme would help him.
Yeah.
And I think also better players will help him, and that includes offensive line. They got some work to do in this offseason. And,
yes, sir, they do.
And if they do all of that, it has – now, you know, the most important position – is quarterback, period. End of story. There is no better. You have to have it.
Yeah, in any sport. I agree.
All right, man. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Another interesting game. And by the way, Mahomes, everyone wants to, you know, to me, who's your MVP of the NFL? You have to keep coming back to him, I would think. And he just keeps on doing what he's doing. He enters the week this week with almost 3,600 passing yards, 29 touchdowns. For the past six games, he's gone over 300 yards. And this is without Tyreek Hill. This is why that's a great trade for Kansas City. Joe, when they made that trade, maybe it's one of those that's good for both. Miami certainly needed a big playmaker to complement Jalen Waddle, and they got Tyreek Hill. And with Mike Gesicki, that's a pretty good trio of targets. But, you know, when you look at a team – like Kansas City, they keep bringing people in. They got a heist in return. They're going to turn that into something very big, which will prolong their dominance in the AFC West, I think. The other interesting game is Tennessee-Philadelphia. Tennessee is 7-4, but they're coming off a loss to the Bengals. Two really good running teams. You know what Derrick Henry can do. But you also know that Jalen Hurts, man, last week 147 yards I think he had rushing the football. Not that he's he can still throw. He does a lot, and they're utilizing his talents. But when you have a quarterback who can do that kind of stuff, the mobility, we're going to see it tomorrow. Actually, Marcus Mariota, say what you want about him, he does have that ability to get out and make plays, design plays, and that's why they're dangerous. Patterson, the kick returner, who's been terrific. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer or not, but he's on special teams. Devin Hester was the gold standard of that. But this guy, Cordero Patterson, has just been terrific. And he did it again at an advanced age. And he's become, as Mike Tomlin likes to call people, Swiss Army knife. He can do it in a lot of different ways, in the pass game and the run game. That'll be interesting. They're going to have to deal with that. But I do believe that George Pickens will have a big day, because George Pickens is from Georgia. You know, that's where he plays college ball. I'm sure that he maybe down deep was hoping the Falcons would give him a shot there, and they didn't. They went for Drake London, who's their rookie, good player, who's better, and we'll see. But Pickens may be highly motivated for this game, and that will be interesting to see. But again, kickoff is tomorrow at 1. We'll have a preview at 11:30 a.m. on KDKA, and then we'll have 2 hours of postgame afterwards on KDKA-TV. In the meantime, we're talking also about the Penguins, who are in action tonight against St. Louis Blues. They have a long homestand, one more before they go on the road. And I'd like to get your, we're a quarter of the way into the season. What's your assessment of the Pittsburgh Penguins? Are they what you thought they would be, which is a team that gets into the playoffs and could do some damage there? Are the New Jersey Devils real? I think so. I'm buying what they're selling with a bunch of young kids who they used as number one picks, overall picks. And by the way, Netherlands has closed it out now. They have beaten the United States 3-1, so USA, that run is over. Netherlands moves on to the quarterfinals. 3-1, your final score. But we'll talk about, what the Penguins are and what you think. Do you believe? I thought the game against Vegas, it's funny how they lose star players. Letang's out, and they seem to play better. Whether that's him, whether that's Malkin, whether that's Crosby, whatever the case may be, they had a great second and third periods in that game. They trailed 2-0, came back and beat a very good Vegas team that had been 10-1-1 on the road. So that's encouraging. St. Louis is a tough competitive team as well. What's your take on the Penguins? Call me at 412-928-9370, but that's open. So are the Steelers. So are anything else you want to talk about with the big games coming up in college football today. A lot riding on it. Is Ohio State back in because of what happened to USC? And if TCU loses, do they remain in the top four, or does Alabama creep back in with two losses? You know how people don't want Alabama to be in it again, but they very well might be. And what kind of loss does TCU take? If they get blown out, does that open a door? How about it's a close game? Do they remain in it? What are your takes? 412-928-9370.